Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Christine Williams.
And you are listening to Fiber Talk, that twice-weekly podcast for people who play with needles, thread, ground cloth, canvas, linen, and scissors. We'll go with scissors. Because I always want one more. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, okay, our guest this week is Jenny Huff. Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
Now, for those who don't know, Jenny is a teacher at, do we say what high school? I don't know. I never want to get crossways with the rules for schools and public announcements.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We can say the school.
Okay, then say the school.
Oh, I work at Artesia High School in Lakewood, California.
Okay, so Jenny does that. And you're a math teacher?
Yes.
And also started a needlepoint club that exploded on you.
Yes.
So
that's okay. Me.
So let's go back. Okay, you're a teacher. We get that. It's a high school. We get that.
Yes.
And so did you do needlework before, or what's your involvement with needlework?
Actually, I haven't started stitching until about 2 years ago. And my husband was very, very sick in the hospital. He actually has the autoimmune disease. And I would just sit there in the hospital and I would just get really stressed out. And like the days were very long and waiting for the doctor. So my mother-in-law came in when my husband was sick. And she was needlepointing a panda designed by Susan Treglow. And I was like, oh, what are you doing? And so what she did was she introduced needlepoint to me while my husband was sick. And it helped me go through the time there at the hospital. And it soothed me and it de-stressed me. And time went a little faster. So from there, when my husband got better and I decided to take it to school and not to, stitch during school hours, like, no, it's all math. But, my lunch and my snack, I would take out my needlepoint. And at this point, I bought an elephant Susan Treglow design because my mother-in-law stitched a Susan Treglow and I wanted to be like her. And I had a student come up to me and say, Miss, can I try it? And I was like, okay. And then I had another kid ask, oh, Miss, can I try it? And I was like, okay. And then like throughout just that one day, I think I had about six kids ask me, oh, can I try it? So I was like, okay, yeah. And I taught these six kids how to just do basic basket weave, and they were all about it. And at this point, I only knew how to basket weave. So they didn't really learn anything much but basket weave. And then suddenly this girl, she's now graduated, and she now goes to UC Irvine. And she was like, oh, we should start a needlepoint club at the school. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Okay. So I thought it was absolutely ridiculous because at that time, lots of people don't stitch. And I was like, okay, fine. Go to the front office. Get the paperwork started to become a club. And for the club form, you need a mission statement and like 15 kids to sign up for the club. And she found 15 kids to sign up for that club. So I knew it was my responsibility at this point.
Oops.
more work on my plate let this happen.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. When you said I didn't stitch during school hours, my first year of teaching, I only taught about 4 years. And then I got into magazine publishing. But my first year of teaching, there were two teachers that had rooms next to each other with an adjoining door. One was math and one was literature, reading, something or other. And my first exposure to veteran teachers, the math teacher was the first one. She would do about a 10-minute lesson out of the book, like here's how to multiply two columns. But this was middle school, so they were beyond that. But anyway, she would do it like a 10-minute thing, and then the kids would work on their homework the rest of the time, and she would sit there and read novels. And I never could understand how she kept her job, because she literally would the only way that there was interaction with the kids was if they came up to ask a question, and half the time she'd be disgusted with them for interrupting her reading. And then right next door was the other teacher who would do the similar thing and sit and read novels while their kids were working on whatever sheet she'd run off. And so I'm really glad to hear that you're not doing that during the math classes, because that just I never got that. You know, you're not helping the kids a lick here. So that's my teaching story, my negative teaching story. And
oh my god,
yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah,
that?
No, definitely. I have to pretty much teach every single day to finish all the standards that I have to finish throughout the year. Yeah. It's a lot. I think it's a little too much, like where teachers are barely able to finish the standards, but I just can't afford to not to just have a day off.
Got to pound away. Yep. Got to pound away. So you get the form filled out. You got all these kids who want to learn to stitch. Now you've got an after-school activity, whether you want it or not.
Yes. It was not something that I was thinking it was going to be real. And then when she came up to me and was like, oh, gosh, I turned in the paperwork. And I was like, oh, my gosh. What are we going to do? Yes, now I have to. But I wasn't going to just tell a kid, oh, yeah, do all this paperwork, and then I wasn't going to make it happen. Of course, I did, and it was a journey.
So, okay, but you can't just start out a needlepoint club. You got nothing. You need needles and threads and canvases and stuff. Where does that all come from?
So, basically,
what's the story for how to get materials?
Oh, yeah. So, at this point, I didn't even know that Facebook existed. I mean, I am on Facebook, but I didn't know that there was actually, like, a Needlepoint Nation where you can ask for support. So, what I did is I went to Mary Pat, the owner of the store, her name is Pat Hall. And she's located in Long Beach. She's the closest store to my kiddos. And I went up to her and I told her, oh, I want to start a club and all this stuff. And she's like, I have needles and blank canvases and pattern and wool. Would you like them? And I said, yes. There's no way I could have a stitching club without any of this. So what we did was my mother-in-law and I went to her house and we separated the pattern and by little bundles, like little teeny bundles. And we cut the canvases 4 inch by 4 inch. And we traced out a heart because Valentine's Day was coming up. So in this... So what we did was we took the heart canvases and we put a needle in the canvas, like threaded it through, and then put it in a Ziploc bag and had like 30 of them ready to go for the first day of Needlepoint Club. And we also had the little bundles where it was enough to finish the heart and have like a little extra just in case a kid, you know, messes up and pulls it all out and then that thread is trash and whatever. So with Mary Pat or Pat's materials that she gave me the opportunity to start the club right away. And honestly, without her, I don't even know if this could ever be.
So between her, really between her and your mother-in-law, her. Yeah, you wouldn't have had a shot if you didn't have those two.
Oh, yeah.
We should mention
my mother-in-law. Jenny,
we should mention the shop just to give them credit here. What's the name of the shop?
Mary Pat. She's located in Long Beach, California.
That's the name of her shop is Mary Pat?
Mary Pat Needle Workshop, I think.
Okay.
But, you know, we just call her Mary Pat. Like, that's what the store is called. So if you just Google it, you'll find it. Yes.
All right. So Mother-in-law and Mary Pat get you off on the right foot. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
One of the questions I had with the first time I saw that you'd done this was safety. Needles and scissors in high school kids' hands. How do you deal with that?
So I talked to my principal beforehand and I asked him, hey, can we have like a needlepoint club on campus? Like, is it, you know, hazardous to have scissors and needles and stuff? And as long as the needles are not super sharp and they're kind of like benign, like they're very, you know, just really flimsy type deal. And also, the scissors, they're high school. So we're hoping if they're able to drive a car, they could probably handle it.
That's bold. That's bold.
Yeah, I know.
So, okay. So it wasn't that much of a concern, but certainly an awareness.
Yes. It's not a concern at all.
Yeah. Okay. So, how many show up for the first time? You got 30 kits. How many show up?
I want to say 30 kids showed up. Like, all of the kits were taken, all of the bundles were taken. They all sat down on the first day, and oh my gosh, my kids don't know how to thread a needle. I think it took them, because lunch is only 35 minutes long, so it took them like 20 minutes just to freaking put the wool inside the needle. And then the last 10 minutes or so, I help kids start the basket weave.
And that was the first meeting. Huh? Okay.
That was the first meeting. It was chaotic. But the reason why my students were able to get more than 15 kids is because they made flyers and they put it all around campus. Like, tells them. Yeah. Like, I'm looking at the flyer right now. It tells them their mission and what needlepoint is. And it says, do you want to de-stress? Join this club on Thursdays.
Wow.
Yeah. And they said, everything is free. Come on down. So it pretty much filled the room. And surprisingly, just 1 week happened. And I had several kids finish up their entire heart and was like, oh my gosh, I'm done. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I wasn't anticipating you guys would be done.
Now what's next?
Yes. And they're just so engaged and so in love with it. I mean, like, this kid was like, Mitz, this took me 3 hours. Or no, it took me 3 movies to finish this heart. And I was like, oh, okay. So I wasn't anticipating that. And the club was actually getting pretty stressful because the following week I ended up with like 40 kids in my class.
Oh my.
And all these kids wanted to join. And actually, we did not have materials at that point.
Mm.
So immediately, we started fundraising. We started selling lollipops I bought for, they were like healthy lollipops made out of real fruit and sugar free because it's sold during school hours. And I bought them for 33 cents. And the kids sold them for $1, and we sold a whole bunch of them where I was able to buy more canvases. The threads weren't an issue. I had a lot of pattern and, but the canvases were very expensive at that point.
Yeah. So everything you're doing is in wool at this point.
Yes. In the beginning, we just did wool. Yes.
Yeah. And so, okay, so that, are you doing painted canvases, or are you still drawing shapes on plain canvas and saying, here, do basket weave?
So later on, when my club was really, really struggling and my kids were just fundraising like crazy and I would buy as much canvas as possible, that's when I was able to go on Needlepoint Nation and show off my kiddos. And there's generous people all around the U.S. like willing to donate blank canvases, painted canvases, all different types of thread, like threads I've never used before. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, we're gonna learn this together. And people donated books and all these things, and it's absolutely amazing. Like, my kids have the opportunity to stitch on painted canvases, blank canvases, whatever their imagination. They can do whatever they want.
That's pretty neat. Did your mother-in-law get involved beyond the initial prep?
Yes, yeah, she did come every Thursday. And also, she does come pretty much anytime I ask her to, because sometimes the club can get a lot. It's a lot of work. So I need extra help, and she's willing to come at lunch and help me with the kids.
Well, that's nice. So this always happens at lunch, or is this after school too?
It always happens at lunch, and it was Thursdays at lunch, but because we have about 90 kids in the Needlepoint Club, and I only have...
No kidding.
I know. We are the biggest club on campus. Like, we are the hot spot. There's only 36 seats in my classroom, and I said, guys, we can't all fit here on Thursday. Like, some of the kids would be standing up. Some of the kids are like, there's no seats, miss. And I'll be like, and then one of my president was like, we should have it in the gym. And I was like, no, because all the materials are in my classroom. So the only option I had was to have it Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays at lunch. So every child can have a seat during Needlepoint Club. I know. It's such a bad issue, right? It's such a good issue. That's what I meant.
Well, yeah, it's good because you're engaging high school students in an activity that they can do the rest of their lives. And, like they said, de-stress, relaxing, and then all the things that you learn about colors and shapes and textures and all those things that come out of that. Yeah, it's a tremendous thing. It's, that's amazing. And so you got all that material stored in your room too? Oh, I can't even imagine.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's crowded. Yes, it is crowded. I have my officers, my president, vice president, treasurer, secretary, and historian. And they come after school and they sort through all this stuff and they put it in places and they label stuff. Everything is labeled for them. Like, I told them, this is floss. And I like showed it to them. And then all they do is they take all the floss and they separate it by color. They don't separate it by number, none of that. Because none of the numbers the kiddos care about. They just care, oh, I want that pink or I want that orange. So, so I have like, you know, pearl cotton, and it's all labeled, and they just have to separate it by color.
I mean, I can't even imagine as a former teacher, what fun to have kids enthusiastic about something like that, and digging in, and that many kids, and you got boys too, right? It doesn't matter.
Yes, it is not looked down upon or whatever. Boys definitely stitch.
All right, I'm a fan of that right out of the gate. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And faculty, have other teachers gotten involved?
Yes, I have a few teachers in the Needlepoint Club. They come to Needlepoint Club every once in a while. I mean, being a teacher is a lot of work, so I know, you know, they can't make it all the time, but they are teachers who stitch male and female.
Just fantastic. That's fantastic.
I know. Yeah. Who knew? Who knew teenagers would love it this much? I mean, I had no idea that she could find 15 kids. So.
And so is this your second year or third year?
So I've been, in Needlepoint Club or teaching in general?
Needlepoint Club.
This is going into my third year of Needlepoint Club. Yes.
Okay. So now what you're starting to do is you got freshmen coming in. So this is carrying through, and kids coming in as freshmen getting involved in this.
Yes. So every year, in the beginning of the year in October, there's this thing called Club Rush. And basically all the clubs.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. all the clubs have their own booth, and for sure Needlepoint has their own booth, and kids sign up for it. We tell them, we get them, we print out little teeny cards about our club and come on Thursdays or Wednesdays or whatever, Fridays, and they have a little information. So those are when, like, we get the freshmen to come in because they've never heard of it before.
Right, right. What is that like, a new freshman coming in? Do you have mentors so that they can learn, or how do you play that game?
So in the beginning of both semesters, the first 2 months, so like October, November, and then this coming semester, it's going to be January and February, because every semester we accept kids. So there's a point where we don't allow any new members, because when the new members come in, my old members teach them how to stitch. And after a month or two, the old members are like kind of sick of teaching the new members how to stitch, and they want to stitch themselves. So that's why we, you know, do like a sign up, come in, you're a new member enrollment time, which is like the first 2 months of each semester. And all my kids who are oldies will teach them how to do it. And then after those 2 months, then everyone stitches on their own project, and there's no new members until the next semester.
Okay.
That
yeah.
Makes sense.
That's great. Yeah, I can imagine. Wait, I joined this club and all I'm doing is teaching people how to stitch. I don't get to do my own thing. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And it gets tiring, and the officers told me, so, and I don't want kids to be like, oh, all I do is just help others. Like, no, you know, this is a place for you to de-stress and to stitch as well. So,
right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a good life lesson. Local needlework store owners will tell you, I'm sure, almost to a person, that once they started their store, their chance to stitch went away. And yeah, there's a good life lesson there for those kids. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay, teacher questions. Has this been used in the curriculum? Have other teachers been able to benefit from this in terms of curriculum, like the art teacher in color, or the history teacher in terms of where this stuff came from? Has any of that happened yet?
No, unfortunately, it has not. I am working on this project where we can make three-dimensional figures with a canvas, and I will have kids figure out the surface area. Like if I made a cube out of like those plastic canvases, we could probably do a lesson on like surface area, or like a triangle pyramid, or any of those things. So I'm trying to work on a lesson with needlepoint in it, but it's not a part of the art curriculum. Like they have their own standards, and it's unfortunate because a lot of home ec is gone.
Right.
So this stuff, kids don't know how to do. Like they don't know how to use a sewing machine. They don't know how to put a thing in the needle. Like they can't put the thread in the needle. So our kids are getting less and less like hands-on type deal.
Right. And see, and that, this is where, and I'll get on a little teacher soapbox. This is where this whole standards thing just rubs me the wrong way, because an opportunity like this to work it into the curriculum, a good creative teacher with the opportunity would weave this right in and make the most of it and really bring whatever subject matter it is to life. Like you say, math. I mean, I can measure the surface area of a cube, but we're going to do a needlepoint cube instead of just some old block of plastic. And it would really, really bring things to life. As a history teacher, you could see weaving that in to a whole lot of things. And but yeah, the standards and all that stuff just don't allow for it. It's too bad.
Yes, yes, definitely.
It's a shame. Oh well.
I know. Trust me, I always talk about bringing needlepoint back into like at least like an art class, you know. But they worked it the way they worked home ec out of high school, like as their fine arts, they like took it out. So right. I'm trying to bring it back in. It's like there's a reason why we took it out type deal. It's pretty awful.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of change towards more like modern things like media arts and Photoshop and things like that, as opposed to traditional art.
Yes.
So have your kids been able to exhibit along with the art department, or is that still yet to come, or maybe never? I don't know.
So we have not exhibited with the art program here at Artesia, but we do exhibit our work at the A&G seminars. So we had one done in Anaheim, and my kiddos, they turned in all of their work, and they put all their work up, and I'm really happy that Val Reese was able to work CurlWave so my kids can get ribboned first, second, and third. Because for high school kids, how do you buy them into turning in their needlepoint? Well, competition. And if they have like, oh, I can get a ribbon for doing this, or, you know, doing the needlepoint, they're all about it. So.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting, and the timing was just right to have A&G's seminar in Anaheim, and to be able to take a bunch of examples there and have them judged. And did the kids get to go to the exhibit, see the exhibit?
Yes, the kids got to go to the exhibit. Only one of my kiddos made it. A lot of kids travel during the summer, so it's like they can't make it, but they were able to turn in their needlepoint before summer break. Yeah.
Mm.
But they were welcome to come.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Does any stitching happen over the summer, or do they just drop it when school's done?
I teach summer school every summer. I'm one of those weirdos that, like, I can't not do anything. I know, because a lot of teachers are like, Miss Huff, you should just take it off. And I'm like, I can't. I'm going to lose my mind in the house, and I have to work. So we do not have needlepoint club during the summer, but my kids who have summer school come to my classroom and pick out threads and pick out more canvases and all of that, because they're like, I'm bored. It's the summer. Yeah. Oh.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, but there's no club sessions or any of that stuff during the summer. Mm-hmm.
But it seems like it also becomes sort of a social thing as well. You know, it's a place for kids to gather and just be comfortable.
Yes. I feel like the boys are there to stitch, and I feel like my girls are there to hang out.
Okay.
Yeah, like my boys will ask me, oh, what stitch should I do here? Like, what would look good here? All this stuff. Oh, I need this color, all this whatever. But the girls, they don't ask me much. They just sit there and they talk. So it's very interesting. They're like, I feel like the boys are just a little bit more like competitive, or like a little bit more crazy about how straight their thread lays, and they're crazy about like what thread they use. But my girls are just there to like vent.
Serves a purpose either way. But I'm not surprised, because you hear that about male stitchers a lot, that they're very precise and particular about things. And so I'm not surprised to hear that. But you'd think high school boys would just, I'm impressed you have a bunch of high school boys to begin with, and that they would be particular is even more impressive. I mean, that's fantastic. It really is. Yeah. Do you, do we also see stitching being done in study halls and other day points during the day where kids have moments, and so they'll haul out their stitching?
Oh, yeah. So I have kids who are extremely addicted to a needlepoint where teachers had to take them.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's
like, they're
great.
Like, yeah, isn't that fabulous? I had a teacher come up to me and said, they're needlepointing in my class. And I said, you need to take it. Like, just take the needlepoint from them. Because, you know, yes, it gets addicting. And I personally can understand that you can't put it down. But if it's taking away from your actual schoolwork, then I just told teachers, just take it from them. And then, you know, talk to them about it and tell them, you know, it's not that time to stitch.
Right. Jeez.
I know, right? it's a really good problem, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yes, yeah, it's not a cell phone, so it's a huge plus. Yes.
Yes. But it's equally as addicting. It's right. It's very, very, it's quite interesting.
Right. So I'm intensely curious about your classroom and storage. How are you storing all this stuff in a classroom?
I have two cabinets full of fibers, and then I went to the dollar store and I have these little stack boxes, but they open on the side, and I put the bars in there, and I have a little thing for needles. So basically it's all in my classroom, and it feels like if I get any more, it's going to fall. It's a lot of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of people who are very generous and love what I'm doing. And I really, really appreciate this. And the kids really love it. I mean, they're just they're all about it. And the best part is that I was able to introduce this to them. And just imagine if they were never introduced to this. I mean, it's, you know, these kids are very gifted, and I'm really happy that all this generous people donated to my club, and the kids have the opportunity to pick anything they want.
Yeah, it's fantastic, because at one point, it seems in the recent past, you actually had to post that you didn't have room for more donations, and I mean, people have been incredibly generous with materials. It's just terrific.
Yes.
Any kid stories you can tell, like wallflowers that have found this as a way to express themselves? I mean, because I got to imagine it's helped a lot of high school students. That's such a tough time in life. And to find something like this, I got to believe it's helped some students to, if nothing else, just relax and be normal, I guess. I don't know. But just thinking back when I taught high school, I can think of several kids that if they just had some little outlet like this, it would just be such a plus for them.
Yeah, I have kids who tell me all the time that it really helps them get through. I mean, I have the stats here about my students. So Artesia High School is 75% of my kids are economically disadvantaged. So that's a lot. And a lot of my kids come from broken homes and from places they're just zero support, and they grow up with just so much on their plate. I know one of my students, she has a lot of people living with her, and she can't get schoolwork done, and, you know, or, oh, my dad left or whatever. I mean, they go through a lot. And they tell me all the time that stitching is their escape. They could just stop life for, 30 minutes, and they can stitch and just not think about it.
Yeah. There's the key phrase. Oh, yeah. Stop life. Yes.
Yes. Stop life. Especially all this social media and all this cyberbullying and stuff. I mean, the kids sometimes just need to go back to old times and just get off their phones and just stitch. One of the rules I have in my class during Needlepoint Club is that there's no cell phones. So kids, yeah, there's absolutely no cell phones. So they're forced to stitch and talk to each other, because I'm worried about the next generation not being able to talk to each other. Because all they do is text and whatever. Yeah. And you're just like, hi, how was your day? And some of my kids, they can't even have a conversation. They're just not used to face to face talk. They're usually just texting, and they could say whatever they want. And I don't know. So, yeah, definitely no cell phones during Needlepoint Club. And the kids, they're fine with it.
Well, their hands should be busy with needlepoint. They shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're doing, you said the bars. So they're mounting canvas on stretcher bars with tacks and doing the full thing then, right?
Yes. And I don't do any of that. So after a whole year of doing Needlepoint Club, I realize that I'm doing too much. Like I'm just doing too much. I'm going to get burnt out. I'm going to never want to do this. So I have specific jobs for people in the club. So now I can just be an advisor and make sure everybody is fine. And, you know, I can give them advice about stitches and colors and all of that. But before, I used to do all of it. Like I used to get the bars for the kids and staple it. And I used to, get the blank canvas and cut them and all this stuff. And the kids would tell me what they want and all this. And I'm just like, so now I have a president and a vice president and a secretary, a treasurer and a historian. And they're the team. They're the reason how this club goes every single week. Because without them, I don't know if I can do this. I'd probably be very burnt out.
Yeah, I can imagine that. You get good administrative support for this?
Oh, yeah. My principal thought it was hilarious. And then he was going to make fun of our club. And then he came in and he was like, holy moly, there's like 40 kids in here. Uh-huh. Yeah. So he is definitely very supportive. Everyone's very supportive. They love it. They love what I'm doing, and they are always asking, how I got started and how did you get the kids interested?
That's great.
Yeah.
Typical male response. Yep. Laugh at him. Yeah, no.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
But then you've got a whole bunch of kids sitting quietly, working together, not fighting. You know, not fidgeting, that mm-hmm. then it's, how did you do that?
Right.
So other schools in the district or other schools in the country that have started these things because of what you did?
People in the district have not started. And I'm not sure about, you know, our nation, but, any district that's willing to open up their arms to me, I will definitely help them get started. Yeah. So if there's any teachers out there, let me know, because I'm here and I know how to not make it so much work on you and have this club running.
Yeah. Standard teacher thing. How much more work am I going to have to do? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm grading papers till midnight as it is. What do you want out of me?
Yep,
I know that feeling. Sat many a night on basketball game supervision duty, sitting on the top of the stands grading papers. Yeah, I know exactly.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Somebody turn it off. Yes. Well, this is fantastic that you're able to do this. And it sounds to me like the kids are learning a whole lot more than stitching out of this, too, which is
a real plus. Exactly.
Yes, they are. They're learning how to put their electronics down. They're learning how to talk to each other. They're just like relaxing. I mean, there's so much benefit to this. I think every high school should have it.
Yeah. What? All right. Your own personal stitching. Are you growing there too, or is that something that's just fallen by the wayside?
Oh no, I stitch. So there are canvases that I stitch just basket weave because I just don't want to think. I just don't want to think. I just want to do basket weave the whole time and I don't want to think about it. And I do the exact color that the canvas painted and whatever. But there are other canvases I'm working on where I'm doing different threads and different stitches. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's just, I don't really like to think.
That's completely fair. Sometimes that's exactly what you need to do.
Yep.
Yes. I just don't want to think. I just want to sit there and stitch and just be nothing right now.
Yep. Make life stop. You bet.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, that's great, Jenny. Really quite a story and a huge success story. And for a hobby that's looking to bring new people, young people into it and have a future, this is certainly one gigantic bright spot. So congratulations to you and everyone who's supporting you. It's really great. All right. Well, we appreciate the time. Appreciate you sharing your story with us. And
Yes,
I'm glad through Fiber Talk here to be able to share it with others. So thank you. And congratulations and keep going. That's fantastic.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. And we'll be back on Wednesday. Thanks for listening.
Take care.